This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We could all feel some nasty side effects from the spiraling unrest in Libya.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Chiotakis. Our growing anxiety about rising prices at the pump just ratcheted up about $3 a barrel's worth today. The cost of crude surged to around $89.50 a barrel. Libya is the world's fourth largest petrol producer, and analysts are worried its share of the global supply looks increasingly uncertain. BP announced this morning it's very likely to evacuate its employees from there. Libya's protesters credit the revolution in Egypt as inspiration, but it seems life in Egypt is settling down. Banks and stock exchanges have now reopened, and U.S. officials arrived to begin talks with the new government. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is in Cairo. Good morning.
Hi, Bob.
So how is this news out of Libya playing there in Egypt?
People are definitely following it. That said, there is a lot of empty desert between Cairo and the Libyan border, and that border's been closed. Libyan exiles here have been rallying in front of their country's embassy, and actually just this morning outside my hotel. I have to say, though, while the sounds that I'm hearing from all these video clips from Libya on Al Jazeera are of gunfire, here in Cairo, the sound of revolution sounds a little more like this.
Now, that could be any rush hour here in L.A., which is, I take it, your whole point.
Right. What we're getting is traffic, a lot of traffic, what passes for normal traffic in Egypt, which means it's chaotic, it's horrible, it's loud, there's taxis and buses, even donkey carts on the roads. Remember, the unrest here closed the banks and schools, a lot of factories. No one was going to work. Nobody was going out shopping. Yesterday was the day that the military and the pro-democracy people all said Egypt's open for business. So banks opened. There were some lines, but not too bad. Food prices at street stands are virtually the same as before. All the shops are offering these huge sales to get people spending again.
So if this is the beginning of maybe what a post-revolution recovery looks like there, how long until everything truly does get back to normal in Egypt?
Well, there's still a long way to go, no doubt about it. To begin with, there's still tanks at every major intersection. Magda Kandel runs the Egyptian Center for Economic Studies in Cairo.
Obviously, we're all concerned about the economic loss. Things have not stabilized yet, and particularly there were a number of strikes that the country witnessed in the stock market closure. These are very concerning matters that are likely to have some impact on economic activities.
And to give you a sense, the country lost nearly $2 billion from this crisis. More than a million tourists packed up and just left. You know, look, this country has actually been growing really well, even in the global recession. Before the revolution, it was expected to be up 6%, and they'll be lucky if they grow at all this year.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joining us from Cairo. Thanks.
You're welcome.
When the government of Hosni Mubarak ordered internet service providers to turn off Egyptian web access, the U.S. objected. But what if the internet itself was under attack? Should the U.S. government have the authority and ability to turn off the internet to save it? Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports Congress has taken up the question of an internet kill switch.
The 1934 Telecommunications Act allows the president to take over any lines of communication in a national emergency. Now, a group of senators wants to limit the president's authority. They've added language to a cybersecurity bill so no one in the government can turn the internet off. The bill limits government intervention even when the internet is under cyber attack. For example, the president would have to identify financial risks higher than $25 billion before the government could step in. Mark Rotenberg with the Electronic Privacy Information Center says the president should also consider the collateral damage to the economy if any part of the internet were turned off.
The associated costs for all the businesses and users and government agencies and everyone else who's dependent on the internet would just be enormous, particularly in the United States.
Rotenberg isn't even sure a kill switch is possible here. Egypt, he notes, has four internet service providers. The U.S. has nearly 4,000. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Ripples from the Middle East in today's European stocks. London's FTSE has tripped about 0.2%. In Frankfurt, the DAX is down 0.2%. Wall Street is closed for President's Day.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Lots of finger-pointing on the Sunday talk shows, Republicans and Democrats blaming each other for a looming spending impasse. Meantime, both sides have put their long-term spending ideas on the table. So let's check in with Fortune magazine editor-at-large Alan Sloan to see whether these plans live up or maybe down to their expectations. Good morning to you, Alan.
Good morning, Bob.
First, let's talk about the budget. There's been a lot said about both proposed budgets, those from the Republicans and President Obama's budget offering. What's your take on the tension in Washington?
I am completely bored. I mean, you hear all this noise from the Obama people, you hear all this noise from the Republicans, and you look and there's almost nothing of any substance. And the idea that I should spend my time obsessing over this is just silly. I'm going to go wait for spring training and hope Mariano Rivera holds up.
Well, what about these plans? Would either of these plans even solve the deficit?
Neither one would come close, and it's hard to believe either one is serious because the Obama thing pretends to be cutting spending but really isn't. And the Republican thing, as best I can tell, consists of, well, let's get rid of things like Pell Grants that help lower-income people go to school. But let's not really deal with defense or entitlements or anything. It's just, at this point, nonsensical.
What do you think would help solve the deficit problem?
Among other things, raising taxes, though we're not supposed to say that, trimming some of the entitlements, dealing with the Pentagon and Social Security. But who knows what they'll do there?
Alan Sloan is senior editor-at-large at Fortune magazine, a title that lets him have one foot in the political arena and one foot in the business arena. Thanks, Alan.
You're welcome, Bob.
There's an old saying that justice is blind and apparently hungry. In Lake County, Indiana, court officials are cutting the lunch budget for jurors. Chief Superior Court Judge John Pira says he's frustrated and embarrassed but has no choice given recent spending cuts. So here's a case where it really is true. There is no free lunch. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
If the center can't hold, things tend to fall apart.
The age of anxiety is characterized by a sense of a diminishing American ability to control events around the world.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Zero Sum Future and a New Economic Order next time on Marketplace. Also, the day's business news. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.